Ladies and gentlemen, making his way to the mic, straight out of London, UK, you are listening to Max the WrestleManiac, if you will.
Maniac gang, how are you guys doing? Hope you're well. Welcome or welcome back to the WrestleManiac UK show. It has been one hell of a week so far. Like, honestly, from preparing for Full Gear, you know, we had Dynamite, Rampage, we had Full Gear. Great show. I was out at the Hooked on Wrestling watch party with the Wrestlings guys, some other friends as well. That was really good fun. Always is when we're watching it all together. And then getting home, putting out the vlog of what happened at the watch party, you know, editing other videos as we do, putting out other bits of content here and there. Literally, it's been one after the other. Watched Raw this past week, very uneventful, especially because we have Survivor Series at the weekend. And the build has just been next to nothing. No build. You wouldn't even know really and truly that Survivor Series was this weekend, this Sunday. It seems as if it's maybe still about 3 weeks away. But no, this weekend, Survivor Series. So, yeah, quite underwhelming, but we will watch it. It will probably be very good wrestling-wise on the night. Always is. The guys and girls, you know, that step in the ring always do a top job. It's just the story and stuff around it. And I take a deep dive into this episode, in fact, because I was joined by WWE Kids Magazine editor Ash Rose. Ash is someone that I have always looked up to, whether he knew it before this conversation or not. Himself, the other guys, again, that are around the Gorilla Position podcast, for those of you that are familiar with the Gorilla Position podcast, all the guys involved there. These were the guys single-handedly responsible for pulling me kind of back into wrestling around 2013, 14 time, probably a bit before that, 2013 maybe or so, because of the podcast they were doing. Ash joined the podcast later on, but again, it's just such a great group of guys, and it was so good to be able to sit down with Ash and talk about his role as WWE Kids magazine writer, you know, understand how he got there, his expectations of, or his kind of everyday, what he does. And then, of course, like I say, we spoke about Survivor Series. You know, so Ash is someone that has an appreciation for 90s wrestling, 90s anything, in fact, but 90s wrestling. And that's why I thought it's important to get him on, because he's seen the glory days of Survivor Series, if you like. And yeah, I thought it was great to hear it from him in this conversation, where Survivor Series has kind of, if we're honest, fallen off a cliff somewhat. So it was great to speak to Ash. We're going to get into the conversation shortly so you guys can hear the conversation that we had. And I hope you really do enjoy this insightful conversation with Ash Rose. Great guy, like I said. Make sure you follow him on Twitter. I'll put all his information in the show notes, in the description below, so you can do that. And yeah, support the WWE Kids Magazine, especially if you've got any young people running around your house, any of the next Seth Rollins or Charlotte Flairs in your house, then yeah, definitely support the WWE Kids Magazine. I'm definitely going to be getting that for my son once he's old enough to read and understand it. He's already sort of getting into wrestling. So yeah, very, very much looking forward to you guys hearing this interview. And without further ado, let's jump into it. Absolute pleasure to be joined today with Ash Rose, editor of the WWE Kids Magazine. Ash, how you doing?
I'm good, Mex. How you doing, brother? You still recovering from your exploits at the weekend?
I'm just about like back to normal. For those that don't know, Ash is referring to the Full Gear watch party by Hooked on Wrestling. Absolutely great time every time down in Old Street. I'm waiting to see you there joining us, having a great time one night.
I'm there. I will. I keep saying I'm going to be there for the Rumble. So I've promised Paul and the guys, and because obviously I do work for Hooked On as well. You've been on the Hooked On Wrestling show. So yeah, I've promised I'll. The late nights are harder these days in my latter years, Mex, I must tell you. But yeah, the Rumble is a proper, let's kick off the year in style. So yeah, you may see my face there, a late night party at the Rumble. So we can celebrate together.
Typical Rumble style. Ash comes in last minute.
I want a countdown. Good.
Yeah, I want to count 100%. Down. Yeah, we'll organize it for you. It'll be absolutely great. But yeah, that's the next milestone, if you like, in the calendar. Today, we're actually going to get on to eventually talk about Survivor Series. Mm. And a lot of mixed discussions, a lot of mixed feelings about Survivor Series. But before we do, Ash, I have to give you your flowers. You've been someone I wanted to speak to for a very long time, since the GP days. Like you said, obviously, I've been on Hooked On Wrestling podcast with yourself and Paul. Amazing getting an opportunity to speak to you. We spoke again on the Kick Out podcast as well. One of the standouts in our little scene that we're cultivating here in the UK. A very trustworthy name, and obviously the work you do with WWE Kids Magazine, and we're going to speak about a bit later in terms of how you got into that. So again, just thank you for everything you do in the UK wrestling scene, man.
It's very kind, Mex. It's very kind of you. There's a lot of good people, and I've seen it grown, especially in the last sort of maybe 2-3 years, where the wrestling media in this country has really grown, and a lot of great stuff. And then there's like the new generation, like your YouTube channel and the stuff you've been doing on Kick Out. It's great to see. And do you know what's really nice about it? It's such a community, like, especially when we've had this obviously break in events and stuff over the last couple of 18 months with COVID and stuff. Now that we've been out and allowed to go to stuff again, I've been to a couple of the WWE live events that have been over the last couple of months, and to see everyone again, it's been really nice. It's like a little family, and you catch up and stuff. And there's no like, oh, you've got this line, we've got that line. Everyone's really respectful and really helpful in the media. So, and it's nice that I've been able to play some small part of that. So yeah, bring on more events in 2022. I tell you that.
That's exactly it. I think we're all, getting excited already by the news of the UK stadium show. Come September, they're saying it's going to be. That could be amazing, literally.
That will be one crazy weekend, I think. There's a little part of me that wishes it was SummerSlam, just because, 30 years, it just kind of makes sense. I don't know how they've got it. It's a bit of an own goal they've made there, a little bit. But I think we should take, at least for the moment, what we can get. And although I don't know what the pay-per-view would be called, I imagine it's going to be a standalone in their calendar, rather than, I know, the likes of Rebellion, Insurrection were standalone, but they weren't quite in their calendar. It was kind of a special event. I'm hoping this is more seen like a proper pay-per-view, whatever the gimmick they give it. So whatever happens, it'll be fun.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Can't wait for that show. I went to when they were here in September, I think. I didn't go to this last one when they were here in November. But September, I was at O2. And that was my first actual WWE show that I'd been to. And I just couldn't believe just the amount of love it gets, especially of course from the younger supporters. I couldn't believe how many Fiend masks I saw that were on sale. Obviously, Bray Wyatt, Fiend, no longer with us in the WWE universe, but literally everyone was wearing it. Kids dressed as John Cena. I said, you know what, now I get it. Now I fully get what they're doing. It's, you could see it from afar, but unless you're literally there, you can't really understand the theater and the pageantry of it all. And yeah, it was a good awakening, because now I can enjoy it for what it is, if you see what I mean, rather than think, oh, why doesn't this make sense? And why doesn't that make sense?
Yeah, I think a lot of people seem to, a lot of fans, obviously social media is a place for a moan. So you're always going to find people moaning. I'm guilty of it myself, but the WWE, obviously they don't help themselves all the time, but what you got to remember is that they cater to such a massive audience. Like, I don't think any other entity really caters for such a wide spectrum of fans, like from age-wise, going upwards to people who've been in it for 30-odd years like me, to kind of the middle ground like you guys, and then going right down to the kids like you saw and walking around in, you know, the merch, basically. They are the merch.
They are the merch.
They are just, you know, in drip in WWE stuff. Yeah. And like you say, back in September, it was the Fiend masks and... I don't know what I saw more of, actually, because I was on the November tour. I was at Wembley last Saturday? Yeah, was Saturday before. I don't think there was one overwhelm, because usually you're right. Usually it's Cena everywhere, even in 2021, it's usually Cena. But I don't really got a, there wasn't a feeling of there was someone who was overwhelming, but there was so much merch, a lot of belts and stuff. And there is something special. And occasionally I get that, depending where you're sitting in a live event, that if you see a young child watching WWE for the first time and their excitement, and it's like when you go to a football game for the first time and you walk up the steps and see the pitch, it's like that moment,
breathtaking.
It stays with you as well forever, and the questions you can hear them asking, often more intelligent than questions than I ever ask, and go, that's a good point, lad, that's a good point. But it's a family experience, and until you go and see it. And I must say, the live show at Wembley was one of the best live events I've seen from WWE for a while, in terms of non-TV shows that they bring over here, like the Raw and the SmackDown. Obviously they have all the bells and the whistles, but from a house show, to use an old school term, it was a really, really good event. Props to them. So a lot more of them going forward. And I implore anyone who hasn't been, and you're right, Mex, you get it more when you go and see it live.
100%. I couldn't believe it, like my eyes were fully open.
Like
now I find myself watching it since September, and I'm just like, I watched the product and I'm like, all right, fair enough. That's not for me. Like, that's not for me. Or maybe that's not for me either, but I can appreciate it. It's sports entertainment now, so I get it. We want to get to know a bit more about yourself. We're going to talk or do a short game of this or that. I'm going to throw a couple of things at you and let's see what you respond. So, Seth Rollins or Kenny Omega?
Seth Rollins.
I thought you might say that.
Well, I mean... If it's not quick fire, I mean, I'm a WWE guy. I have to say that, like, off the bat, like, I'm not an AEW hater, but I kind of have like a massive shoe in WWE anyway, working for the magazine. But saying that, even if I wasn't, I love Seth Rollins. I think he is one of the most adaptable guys in the business. I think he just gets it. He gets everything about it. And I've said this, and I don't know if I said this when I was on the kickout, he for me would be the man to down Roman Reigns. The story writes itself. Give him a big babyface turn, bring in the Shield. They've never had a proper feud. I think they've had one pay-per-view match. I can't remember.
Here and there. I think after Money in the Bank, I think it was.
Something like that, Without a massive build, and they were, and I think, to be fair to both of them, they were still not really in, well, definitely not in the characters that we see now.
Of course.
Obviously, Seth would have to flip it slightly to be the babyface, but I mean, Seth is everything you want in a WWE superstar for me.
I say this so many times to so many people. If Seth Rollins was outside of the WWE and allowed to do his full, his full arsenal of moves and everything, a lot of people would respect him a lot more. Like, he is fantastic.
Yeah. Watch Tyler Black if you want to see,
That's it.
And that's just a snippet, because he was, still learning his trade. Now he has all that experience and he has that craft of a promo. Him, not I want him to go anywhere near AEW right now, because I think he's in his groove, but if you took the somewhat shackles off him, my god, a match between him and Kenny, hello,
crazy. Literally crazy. Tights or trunks?
Ooh. When I was this is gonna sound so sad now, when I was, we all used to pretend we were a wrestler at some point. In probably later than I should have done as well. I think I was tights. Yeah, I think I was long tights. I think that would have been lightning up the side. I think that character had at the time. When I used to design a character on, No Mercy or WrestleMania 2000 or whatever the game was. I think tights. I think tights, I think I. There's too much on show.
That's exactly how I feel.
Yeah.
Cool. Bret Hart or Shawn Michaels?
Ooh, I'm going to upset Skillet now, I think. No, actually, I'm not. I think I'd go Bret. I'm not really massively in any camp. I'm one of those people that my favorites are quite odd, not odd, but different. I'm not really go to the standard people, but if I had to pick between the two, when I think of great matches, and not saying that Shawn hasn't, because he's had some absolutely bangers, but like two of my favorite matches of all time involve Bret Hart, which is Bret Hart Perfect at SummerSlam 91 and the tag team match with Demolition at SummerSlam 90. So, and like, I think the thing with Brett, his matches still hold up like 30 years later.
Yep.
Fantastic storyteller. It's a shame he's such a bitter man in later life. But yeah, I'm a Brett man, I think.
Cool, cool. Spot fests or strong style?
That's a difficult one. I'd probably go somewhere in the middle because I like a bit of both. I like to be sports entertained.
Yeah.
But I don't like overly spotted matches where it just doesn't look real. Like, and you know, it's, some of the, they look contrived. I want to believe that I'm in the story. And sometimes I feel like some matches are like a dance, and I don't like it's that.
Very choreographed. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not with, and some of the, you know, you see a lot of the flippy floppy stuff that's come from the indies, gone through NXT and is now an AEW. And I'm not always with that. But at the same time, I don't always need a pure wrestling match as well. So if I can cheat, Mex, I'd go somewhere in between.
Fair enough. We'll let you get away with that one.
Yeah.
Hardy Boys or Edge and Christian?
Edge and Christian. I think I, you know.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Hardy's great. You know, I always thought they were kind of the next generation of the Rockers, and I was a big Rockers fan. So maybe I was a little bit, no, you're not the Rockers when I was growing up, but I think they've evolved more as characters as well in their life, if we're treating it as a whole career. But I loved the 3 second pose stuff. You know, the 5 second pose, that was brilliant. Very like hard. Again, very cheesy, very small, entertaining. I think the Hardys were innovative so much, and they did a lot for the business. But I don't know if they ever really engaged me as superstars. Like in the ring, I loved watching them, but I don't think Matt and Jeff have ever, well, specifically Jeff, have ever been great as a promo guy. And Matt has obviously done, you know, he's gone the other end with the deleted stuff. But Edge and Christian.
Okay. Would you rather be backstage of the stars or front row WrestleMania?
Backstage. I think front row. I think I'd want to, you know, you want to be in the moment and see it. I mean, everyone loves the peek behind the curtain, but I think as well, I've been quite lucky in my role over the years that I've seen a few peeks behind the curtains before. Yeah. And we get, to be honest, we get so much of that now from the network. The 24 shows, especially, which I love. I think to be front row at a WrestleMania and soak in an atmosphere, like to be there at WrestleMania 30 when and Daniel Bryan, you know, won both titles, I think that would be awesome. Mm-hmm.
True. Jazz or Jacqueline?
I don't know. I think Jacqueline has some good stuff. I was actually, we're doing a show for Hooked on Wrestling, actually, where we're rebooking Survivor Series 1998, which sounded like a great idea. And it's really, really hard. Because if for anyone who don't remember, it wasn't a Survivor Series tournament. It was the Deadly Games Championship. Yeah, which was great. But we're trying to stupidly rebook it as a typical elimination tournament. And it's really hard. But Jacqueline was such a big part of that with the Mark Mero and Sable stuff. I think both were very underrated. But I think I remember more of Jacqueline from that time.
Cool. And these last ones, we'll do quick fire.
Go on.
In their prime,
yeah.
Vince McMahon or Eric Bischoff?
I was Eric Bischoff.
Would you rather be thrown off Hell in a Cell or put through the Hell in a Cell?
Oh, off. The ring hurts. Yeah, the ring hurts.
That you sound like you're speaking from experience there.
No, I'm not, but I can just tell and know from talking to people, it hurts.
Okay, cool. Stone Cold or The Rock?
Rock. Easy.
Finn Balor or Adam Cole?
Adam Cole, baby.
I thought I'd catch you with that one.
Yeah.
And my last one, but I think I know the answer, WWE or AEW?
WWE, I have to say that, yeah. But no, it's true. I mean, as we were saying a minute ago, like I love how WWE caters to every audience. Like AEW do what they do, and they do it brilliantly. And at the moment, some of their storytelling is phenomenal, especially their planning. But I think they cater to to their audience, which is great. I kind of appreciate, and I think part of my job is that WWE try and do this kind of sports entertainment thing.
I call them, without any disrespect, like the world's greatest circus.
Yeah.
Like that's exactly what I see from town to town, entertaining hundreds of thousands of people. That's exactly the business they're in. And obviously it contains sports and wrestling and stuff as well.
I don't think they'd have a problem with that as well. I think they know, you know, it's pantomime and pageantry. I think Vince has used those words previously, but he might not do it now, but he definitely has in the past.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, cool. So now we know a bit more about you. We want to kind of dive into, and it's for me to understand your role in edit and as an editor for WWE Kids Magazine. Now, I know you do the football one as well. Is it Kick Magazine?
Yeah, Kick Magazine, yeah.
Right. So did you study journalism or something like that? Like, how did we get here?
Yeah, well, not I did professional writing at university. I'm not sure if it was quite a new version of that course. I'm not sure if that course even exists anymore. And it covered pretty much everything, not just journalism, but also sort of, you know, if you want to do poetry or script writing. And at that point, I was that really boring kid at school that when everyone wanted to be an astronaut or a footballer or a pop star, I wanted to write about football. That's basically what I wanted to do. I mean, I would have said wrestling, but at that time I didn't think that was a thing. Like, I didn't know that was, you know, I was buying, there was WWF magazine, but that always seemed like something exotic from an unknown land at that point, rather than, you know, your match and your shoot that you saw in the newsagent. So, yeah, I studied professional writing because I wanted to be a journalist, but also I've always had interest in all aspects of writing and stuff. So, yeah, that's kind of how I started. But I mean, back in those days, it was more difficult to get writing out there because there wasn't, you know, it was very infancy of the internet and blogs and writing, you know, there's no social media to promote yourself and stuff. So I actually got into the media, if you want to call it that, through sales. I was doing media sales for a local newspaper. Then I did it for Esquire, which is a men's sort of lifestyle magazine. So I was writing their advertorials about products and stuff, which I didn't enjoy at all because it just wasn't my wheelhouse. And luckily, that sort of route got me into Kick was an upstart magazine. They were looking for someone to kind of book the competitions and knew a lot about football. Luckily, I had a bit of both at that time, and that was my way in. And then I basically just bullied my way in terms of my writing and my eagerness to do this for a living into Kick magazine. And that ventured into WWE at the time because we had the publisher I was writing for had other kids' magazines. One of which was called Craze, which is still going now. So it's a generic boys mainly magazine, and they covered wrestling at the time, but no one really knew anything about it, especially we're talking kind of, you know, early sort of, no, what year would this be in? Late 2000s. So no one really knew how to cover it. I think WWE was still finding their feet back in the UK as well, where they've been on peaks and troughs. So I started doing interviews through WWE's PR company just for that magazine. Then I started doing it on a freelance basis. Until I lobbied to get WWE Kids I told my publisher to go out and get it, and we did. And now I have the pleasure of writing about WWE for a living. So yeah, that's kind of abridged version of how I got into it.
That's crazy. Like, you literally bullied your way into what you want to do.
Yeah, bully's probably the wrong choice of word, but the magazine I started on Kick, it was just, there wasn't anyone there who... Not didn't know about football, but didn't know how to. They had this kids magazine. They thought it was fun, and I just wanted to make it more about football and give it more of an authoritative feel for kids. And that's kind of, you know, we all remember Match and Shoot growing up, and obviously Match is still going. Props to them. So I wanted to make it the alternative, and that's what I did because I wanted to do it for so long. I never thought I'd be doing it for WWE as well because I never thought there would be an opportunity, but. Yeah, I just think if you know, there's a lot of cliches out there, but if you really do believe, and like you're doing it, Mex, like if you love something, you're passionate about it, and you find a way to make it work for yourselves, then you push hard, and that's what I did. And I was made editor in 2012, so I've been doing that for nearly 10 years now.
So I love it. Just to kind of understand the role. As editor, I'm guessing you have like other writers and you get the final like sign off on what goes in a mag.
No, that's how it normally works on a day on a magazine, and some of the, you know, especially in the past, I mean, a lot of things have changed, especially post pandemic, but I mean, I'm in a probably unique position where I'm the only writer on Kick, on WWE Kids. So basically I have a flat plan and I decide what goes in it. I mean, I effectively write my own football and WWE magazine every month, which if you told 10-year-old Ash, he'd laugh at you and go, "Oh, that's not a job."
I'm mind blown by you saying this. Like, this is amazing. Like, it's your magazine, both of them.
Basically, like. Yeah. I mean, it has its perks because I am in control, but at the same time, you know, every now and then I have to, a sounding board would be good because you have an idea and you go, course, is that a good idea? I don't know. Maybe it is. And then there are people, we have an office and I have a designer who designs it and I have, you know, well, there are discussions throughout the team, but in terms of what goes in it and editorially, it's my call, it's my say, and it falls in my head basically. So I have to, you know, I have to make sure. And with WWE and releasing people at certain times, it doesn't make it easy because we're a monthly magazine, and sometimes there are people on the magazine that probably shouldn't be. But that's the nature of the business. But yeah, I mean, it's a lot of fun, and every day is obviously slightly different, and depending on what's going on in WWE and on the football side of it and stuff. So, and I'm back on doing the boys' magazines as well. I do that, so I dip my toe into computer games and Pokemon. Not like and nice. Say I'm any expert in those fields, but. Yeah, that's kind of my day-to-day activity on across. It's Kennedy Publishing, I should actually mention, who are the publishers of the magazine. So,
when we say, obviously, it's WWE Kids Magazine, but what is, like, your main demographic, your age group that is targeted at?
It changes. It does change. But, I mean, I think core, you would have to sort of say sort of 8 to 10, maybe slightly older, 8 to 12, that kind of area. But we have readers as young as 5, as old as 14. So again, like WWE, I have to make sure that the language isn't too baby for some of the readers, but it isn't too hard for the younger ones as well. So, and also they have to understand, excuse me, what I'm talking about as well. And not just assume that because they've bought the magazine, they know everything about WWE. You have to make sure there's always background to what you're saying. So I did a Survivor Series feature for the new issue, talking about the greatest ever teams. And they are, you know, I can't just say, oh, there was this team. You have to say why there was this team, just to make sure there's context so kids understand what went before them. And so hopefully they find that quite engaging. But then there's also things like colouring and puzzles and quizzes to make sure there's more than just writing. You have to kind of keep them engaged. Posters, obviously, as well. Yeah, free gifts. I have to, you know, I love to think that my editorial and the team's editorial is the main selling point, but the free gifts obviously are very welcomed by, you know, the readers as well, and especially because they're WWE themed, so that always helps us out as well.
Yeah. No, that's so cool. And I don't know if I'm allowed to ask this, and feel free to give a rough estimate, but when we're talking about of the monthly sales, like, do you know, like, roughly what the magazine's doing? Is it thousands, tens of thousands?
Yeah, it's in the sort of double-figure thousands. I'm not trying to not disguise it. It's changed quite a lot in terms of, you know, over the last 18 months as well, where more people have gone out and bought magazines, which has been great for us because they've been inside during lockdown. If I could take one tiny little silver lining from the whole thing, it's been that with the company's been done quite well in terms of people have needed and children have needed entertaining. So I hope we've been able to do that as a magazine publisher over the last 18 months and given them something to even, you know, we all found it quite difficult to watch WWE and AEW with no fans. So hopefully with the magazine gave them something a bit different during that time. But no, it does very well. And I'm, you know, we always want it to sell more because we want more fans.
Of course.
You know, essentially WWE magazine is only really going to be bought by WWE fans. So the more fans WWE get, the better for us.
Yeah. What's your biggest accomplishment with this line of work?
Oh, that's a good question. That's a very good question. I mean, it sounds a bit cheesy, but just, I mean, it's accomplishment knowing that I'm helping young minds kind of engage them because, you know, we all want kids to read, especially in this day and age where, and I'm guilty of this as well, my daughters love a tablet. They love grabbing my phone and that's, you know, I'm very much guilty of them. You know, you want 5 minutes peace, then yeah, that's what happens. But at the same time, I encourage them to take a magazine and read or colour. So I like to think that not just me, but the team in general have accomplished that. Outside of that, I mean, I really enjoy interviewing the guys, you know, and I think it's, we're all fans at one level. So, you know, I have to keep the fanboy in me quite silent every now and then. I've got more and more used to it over the years. What I think what's really strange, and it's like when I do the interviews, I'm kind of like there. But if I'm in a hotel and I see the guys walking around doing, you know, just doing their day, like I saw Sasha Banks in catering last week when I was in Wembley, I get more fanboyed then because I'm like, oh, it's Sasha Banks. But then like 5 minutes later, I'm standing there with, you know, Tommaso Ciampa and Riddle. And I think maybe the job comes, you know, that comes over you. But yeah. I think it's a compliment just to keep those magazines going because we, as I said, we live in a digital age. So the fact that they're still doing really well, they're a part of the industry, and obviously we get a lot of help from WWE as well. So yeah, I think the fact that they're still a standalone magazine and they're doing really well is quite an accomplishment itself.
What's been your biggest learn with the magazine? Like a challenge you had to overcome?
I think don't be a perfectionist. Is something I just in general, like I want it to be the best. Like I was a stato as a kid. If there's something somehow is printed in error, and I'm not sure, and it doesn't happen very often, that I have to learn to just get over that. I think that's just something that it's one of those things. I mean, kids are brutal. They'll notice. That's the thing. They'll notice more than an adult would, or, you know, and write in and say, and you have to go, oh, it happened in error. So I think I've had to get over that. Because that took me. I'm a bit of a perfectionist, and sometimes I just have to just go okay and let people just help me out in terms of things that are not going as well as I wanted to. Maybe,
yeah.
If that's a weakness, I'm not sure. I mean, it sounds a bit of a cop out.
It is. But no, I appreciate you giving us that insight because it's not easy to do these things. Like you said, you're basically a team of one. Write, you review it. It'll be great to obviously have someone to bounce ideas off and stuff like that. It isn't just WWE Kids Magazine you're involved in as well. There's others. Mm. So yeah, definitely once my son is able to read, he's 3 in January, but that's going to be his go-to. He's already trying to watch it with me, and some things I let him watch, some things he's giving him ideas already, so I have to curtail it. But definitely something that's going to be interesting in the future. But away from the magazine now, obviously we've got the Hooked on Wrestling podcast with yourself and Paul. We've got the Hooked on Wrestling, the 90s podcast as well. So this is why I wanted to get you on, because I know you're a man of the past. You have a great understanding and love for yesteryear wrestling. And we're going into Survivor Series this weekend. Mm. And Survivor Series traditionally was, you know, one of those big standouts in the wrestling calendar. Generally, how do you feel about Survivor Series now, how it's done, the brand supremacy thing? What's your thoughts and feelings on it?
How long you got, Max? I find it such an odd situation. I really, like, I think we got the feeling that Vince probably and you know, maybe somewhat of the creative team quite a while ago didn't think the elimination matches were a sell anymore in terms of the way they used to, you know, if you think back to the early Survivor Series, they had a cold card full of them, which I don't think there should be now either. As much as I loved that at the time, it very much belongs in that era. I get it. You see more 6-man, 8-man tag matches on TV now than you didn't see that back in, you know, when Survivor Series started in the late 80s and the early 90s, because there wasn't a TV. We didn't have Raw and SmackDown and so much content every week. So I get that at some point they needed to kind of flip the switch slightly to make Survivor Series and keep it. Because I know at one point there was a real danger that they're going to take Survivor Series off the calendar, which, as you say, it's one of the oldest ones. Mm. One of the original big four. It'd been such a shame. Saying that, the Raw versus SmackDown, you know, it's really hard as a fan to get engaged with. It's really, really hard. As I always say, it's not football. Like, Mex, you're not a Raw fan, and I'm a SmackDown fan. it doesn't work like that. Like,
I love that analogy. Yeah, it's true. Yeah. It's true.
Like, I might prefer to watch SmackDown or Raw, but we watch it all. You know, I'm not Team 205 Live. It doesn't, you know. I'm not walking around with a purple scarf and a football shirt. It doesn't work like that. And if it did, it has to work all year round. You can't turn up in October and decide that, actually, I don't like those guys on that other show.
Yeah.
And then even this year, they've watered it down even further, that you haven't even really seen, like, you know, the invasions, the silly t-shirts, you know, the teams were dropped on social media on a Saturday. Like, so even the only thing that you kind of get story around at Survivor Series time is how the teams are put together for Raw and SmackDown. We haven't even got, I mean, I know they've changed repeatedly over the last couple of weeks, and I think Austin Theory was added this week on Raw as well. Yeah. But it just doesn't, I just don't understand how a, you know, creative team can sit there and think this really works, especially considering, I think, is it nearly all of the, well, at one point, nearly all of the Raw team were on SmackDown last month.
When it was announced,
no one's got an affinity with a brand. Like, if they did it all year, like, not saying they should be fighting, but there was, like, little Easter eggs and little sort of nuggets of sort of some sort of rivalry between the brands all year that kind of built to Survivor Series. I don't like it, but kind of, at least, you know, there's a sort of theme you're going on. To just pop up, like, randomly in October, it for me, it stops the narrative that you're working on in TV. Like, at the moment, they're all treading water a bit. Like, we know we're going to probably end up going Becky, Liv, and obviously Seth, Big E.
Yeah.
But they're having to stretch this, which sometimes isn't the worst thing. But they're having to stretch it because they've got Survivor Series in the middle of it. Yet, if you had Team Big E and Team Seth, and then, you know, they have to pick their teams, intertwining for you. I love the best thing about the Survivor Series matches, and again, I'm not saying all the card needs to be full of them, but maybe you top and tail it like you do Money in the Bank. You have one big match at the start, one big match at the bottom.
Yeah.
Whether it's Raw, SmackDown, Women's Men, however you want to do it. Maybe a women's one in the middle, I don't know. But the beauty of them is that you had so many intertwining feuds between the teams, and it was interesting how the teams would be set up and go about it. And it's a good way to start new feuds, because somebody eliminated you, like you do in the Rumble. Like, I can't believe you eliminated me in the Rumble. Mm-hmm. That start a feud, blah, blah, blah. There are so many facets to a Survivor Series elimination match. I just don't understand how they think this is a better idea. Even the champion versus champion matches aren't as, you know, when that first started, I was like, oh, that's quite good. But now, you know, I love Becky and Charlotte, but we've all seen it a lot.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I've got long-winded on your question there, Mex, but
it's fine. I mean, that's pretty much how we all feel. Like, for me, I feel it's pretty inconsequential as well.
There's no stakes.
WrestleMania is WrestleMania. SummerSlam is almost Summer's WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Money in the Bank has stakes. Royal Rumble has stakes. Survivor Series, there isn't really anything at this point. Survivor in the name, you know, give us an Elimination Chamber match. Mm. Or at least for those that, you know, involved in the 5-on-5 tag matches, I've always thought the winner, the sole survivor, should get number 30 in the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
Like, make it all intertwine and make a bit of sense. But champion versus champion, like, Big E is about to lose to Roman Reigns very early in his reign, for what reason exactly? Yeah. Like, it doesn't really...
Well, it doesn't follow, does it?
Yeah, like, it doesn't.
Storylines almost stop the night after Survivor Series and then pick up 3 weeks before because they're like, oh yeah, we've got that out the way.
Yeah.
And the only time I think it hasn't is when, you know, Seth Rollins' heel turn started the night after Survivor Series 2 years ago, where you had everyone around the ring and Raw. And that's slow burn.
The Messiah.
Yeah, thing. That which was a brilliantly booked way to do it because he picked on Ray as well. And that was a first early sign of that feud that went on into the next year and had all the eye for the eye and stuff.
Yeah.
But that's the only time I really remember it having some sort of effect on the current storylines. But I don't even know if it even worked, if it had a, you know, consequence on it. I've thought the same thing as you. Can it link to the Rumble? So then you're already linking the road to WrestleMania earlier and they can build to WrestleMania because we're already seeing the adverts and the tickets going on sales. So I agree. Like, does it link with the number 30? But even then, do you need Raw SmackDown? I don't, when they had NXT involved a couple of years ago, that was great.
Yeah,
but that was only great because we all wanted to see NXT on the main roster. That's the only reason. Like, at that time it was, you know, NXT was red hot. And we wanted to see Cole and Riddle and Keith Lee and Rhea Ripley and Bianca Belair. And it gave them a platform. And I'm not sure if that was the plan going forward. But again, we were hit by COVID and now we're hit by NXT 2.0. So it doesn't work at the moment.
Yeah. Well, so, it almost feels like they done that particular one, even though it did turn out great. It was like they done that to kind of kick off NXT going into the USA network. Obviously, AEW was just starting those times as well. But yeah, I think with Survivor Series, like I mentioned, WrestleMania, SummerSlam, somewhat for me personally, Money in the Bank,
it's become
Royal Rumble is the big four. Do you still see Survivor Series as one of the quote unquote big four?
Or as you mentioned, Mex, I lived most of my life in the 1990s. So, yeah, I mean, in my head, it still is. But the way treat is probably the wrong word. But the way it's perceived now because of this brand supremacy, our favorite two words, I don't think it's kind of seen like that anymore, which is such a massive shame, because it's not just the elimination matches that you met Survivor Series. It's got such a legacy. Rock's debut, Sting's debut, the Shield's debut. Like, Survivor Series is massive. You know, the Montreal Screwjob, Deadly Games. There's a legacy of Survivor Series moments that is up there, then why it's considered. Granted, because it's been going for so long as well, it's allowed to have those moments. But it's a pay-per-view that we all still hold close to our hearts. And I've read on somewhere, I don't know where I read it, but going back to if you booked it as a Survivor Series elimination matches, if you had Team Roman versus Team Brock, watching TV of Brock Lesnar trying to recruit, or people trying to get on a Brock Lesnar, how fun would that? I know we're sort of, it doesn't work like that because Brock's got like one TV deal.
Special contract.
I know that. I'm living in a slightly fantasy booking world. I know. Yeah. But I'm using it as an example of how you can make TV unmissable almost, because you want to see who's going to be on, you know, who would Brock align himself with, and why would he do that, and how would he pick his team, and would he trust him, and going against Roman, and obviously would be the bloodline and plus one other, you know, do you get the new lad from NXT, do you add him in there, and you get a proper family, you know. It's, there are so many ways you can do it other than here's a load of guys from Raw, here's a load of guys from SmackDown, here you go. That's, and true. I mean, the disclaimer I will say is the matches are usually fantastic. That's the only thing. Like the elimination matches. There was one. Is it the Shane O'Mac, Randy Orton? I think that was maybe 2 or 3 years ago. I can't remember.
Braun Strowman was on that team.
One where Randy saves someone's kid in the crowd or something. Check it. Someone hit. I can't remember. There was a slight controversial edge to it that Randy did something really nice. I can't remember what it was now. But the match itself was amazing, and they're always great, and I'm not just, you know, I'm not taking that away from them, but they'd be 10% even more great if there was something engaging going into it. So it's a massive shame. It is. I love Survivor Series.
Yeah, stakes and a story, which I feel like for those that watch AEW, we've seen in this past week in, you know, full gear, stakes and stories in wrestling is everything.
Yeah,
like, and to have a whole Survivor Series, basically just because they can, because it's in November in the calendar every year. It's like, it's a bit of a shame, because again, we all have so much fond memories. My favorite Survivor Series, was it 2002 or 2003 when they debuted the Elimination Chamber?
Yeah. Shawn Michaels.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. I was literally taken aback by that structure of the Elimination Chamber. Like, it's Hell in a Cell on steroids or something. Like, it's crazy. What's your favorite Survivor Series?
That's a good one, despite Shawn's hair and brown trunks.
And the brown trunks.
Yeah, and the schoolgirl haircut. Yeah, it's not as good. It's not his best look, but yeah, it's a great, great pay-per-view. I'm always very, 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 very fond of 1990, because it's one of the first ones I ever, showing my age now, I ever remember. And it has the best ever Survivor Series team in the Warriors, in the Ultimate Warrior, the Texas Tornado, and Legion of Doom. Like, they don't look like wrestlers. They look like superheroes. It's the most ridiculous, jacked up, colorful, superhero, Avenger-like team of all time. It is a crazy looking one. So that was a good one. And I liked 2014 when Sting, when we talk about Brett and Shawn earlier, like, what my two guys are Rock and Sting, which is kind of a weird, I'm not saying comparing the two, but they're my number one and two greatest ever. So finally see Sting come to WWE in a very well booked match and angle. You know, Dolph definitely got his flowers that night as well. That was a really, really good Survivor Series as well. So they'd probably be my two favorite. And that's the thing with the Raw SmackDown ones. They all go, I'm saying they're great matches, but I can't tell you the year and who was really in it. I just remember it being kind of a great match, right? Rather than, you know, 2017, that's standalone, because this guy was feuding with this guy and these two teams. But
you just kind of watch it in isolation. Like, on the night, it's a great wrestling show. Apart from, and it's funny, we both mentioned 2019, because that is probably the last one that's meant something with NXT being involved.
Yeah.
But since then,
it's almost an exhibition night. Like, it's almost, here's what WWE do. Here's a load of superstars that are all brilliant in the ring having some fun tag team matches. It's almost like you could show someone who's not really a fan and go, this is kind of a snippet of what WWE does. There's two brands, then these guys are fighting just for tonight. And then you wouldn't really need to know any more than that in isolation. And that's all right for a non-fan. But for us, we're like, no, bring us back some, you know, as you keep saying, story and stakes is what we need. That's how we engage as wrestling fans. And yeah, I don't know if it's going to change. I'm, you know, the hopefulness in me thinks that this year's been so rushed and so, what's the word I'm looking for? It's just, it hasn't got, not as much care has gone into booking it, that maybe they're starting to think maybe this doesn't work. I don't know. I'm probably being way too hopeful.
I think maybe this particular year, I personally think something to do with the Saudi show and when that was scheduled in October, then if I'm correct, they've removed the December pay-per-view and they're having a pay-per-view on the 1st of January.
Yeah, day one. Yeah.
Day one. So yeah, towards this back end of the year, something hasn't quite clicked in terms of scheduling, it seems. Like we say, hopefully, you know, next year we can do something good at Survivor Series other than brand supremacy. That could be good. But yeah, just as we start bringing this great conversation to a close, I'm going to ask you what we're calling our maniac moment. So this is the last thing in wrestling that truly popped you.
Ooh,
what would you say this was?
Truly popped me. Oh, that's a fantastic, fantastic question.
A surprise, a comeback, a big win, a big shock.
I mean, I might surprise you here, but like Daniel Bryan turning up in AEW, and I knew it was happening, but I'm a big Daniel Bryan fan. And to actually see it,
yeah,
and see the American Dragon, I'm still calling him Daniel Bryan as well, as you notice. I'll just call him Bryan. That will probably be easier for my brain. So I did, yeah, I did kind of mark out for that moment because it's just to see him there and probably all slight shackles might come off him now. So I'm trying to think of I mean, seeing Brock at SummerSlam looking like the best version of Brock.
I couldn't believe that look was
for a, you know, like we haven't seen babyface Brock for so long, like a proper babyface. And then you add in the hair and the beard and the, you know, the camel flannel t-shirt. I'm thinking of Riddle on his camel. I don't know. There's something about him. I think Pat McAfee's, the way he spoke about it, you know, be him being like a superhuman, like if you wanted someone to fight aliens, you'd choose Brock Lesnar. I mean, I think his presentation's finished. Fantastic. Kind
of what he was calling him, he said like the alpha male or something of our species.
Of males. yeah, something like that. But I mean, Pat McAfee's in the league of his own. I think he's been brilliant. such a great catch for WWE. I'm really trying to think of something that's not so like fresh in my mind in so recent. But I can't at the moment in terms of Edge coming back at the Rumble, man.
Yeah,
like
that was brilliant.
I have a funny relationship with Edge. Like he's always been there, and he's someone I, you know, really loved and respected. As we said, Edge and Christian earlier. Maybe I got a little bit tired of him during the whole Rated R thing because he was one of the, you know, him and Cena seems to go on forever.
Back and forth, yeah.
Yeah, but like, since he's come back, I think he's just been phenomenal. And that moment, I've watched I've easily watched it sort of 50 times. The moment he comes out of that entranceway, and there's that look in his eye, like there's like eyes. You can see physically tears come in. And man, like people say goosebumps a lot, but it's so incredible. The emotion in that moment, because he's feeling it, but we're all feeling it for him. It's like, we never thought we'd see this.
Exactly.
And his entrance is such a tune as well. Like just that, honesty. It's just like, it's such a tune. So yeah, maybe that trumps them all. I'm glad I thought of that. Yeah. Edge coming back at the Rumble. That was awesome.
Yeah. And even the moment, you know, him, Roman, Daniel Bryan, you know, WrestleMania. These are three men that have had sickness, injuries.
Totally.
It shouldn't have really probably been in the main event of WrestleMania. And, you know, they fought against whatever was kind of, you know, in their way, in their lives, and, you know, put together a really good match, a really good main event, in fact. But yeah, Ash, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, man.
It's been great. Like I say, with everything you're doing with the WWE Kids magazine, keep going. It's literally such a joy to see someone actually excel through something they wanted to do, carve the lane, and you're doing it, man. So again, keep going. Thanks again for joining. And
thanks for having me. And the same to you, Mix. I mean, I watched your videos, and you know, you did some great stuff on the Kick Out as well. And I know Skillet speaks really highly of you. So keep going, man, because for me, so you're bringing some of the best content out there. So
listen,
I wish,
like I said at the top of this, I've got all of you guys to look up to. Like I can't stop. I can't stop. Honestly, you guys were doing this when I remember finding the Gorilla Position advert on TalkSport and thinking, I didn't even know what a podcast was at that point.
Yeah.
If I mean, this was 2013, 2014.
I think I joined 2015, but yeah. James had been doing it a couple of years before that, and you know, hopefully he'll be back very soon, and we'll be back as a show sometime next year.
I definitely need a live show.
I need a live show, Megs. I mean, they were very fun, those live shows we did. You know, got to perform at the O2. I think we performed like a week on that stage that Boys to Men were on it the week before, and you know, I love a bit of Boys to Men, so that was such an honor to be on the same stage. So yeah, hopefully GP will be back some point next year, but remains to be seen. It's the biggest wrestling comeback left, I think, now we've seen CM Punk come back.
definitely is. Thanks for your time, Ash.
Cheers, buddy. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much to Ash Rose for joining me on this podcast. Top man in this UK wrestling media community, this very small community that we're slowly building up, new names, new faces getting added every single day. But Ash is one of the OGs in his own way through everything he does with the Kids Magazine, where he has been with Gorilla Position, the Gorilla Position GP pod, and what he's doing now with, you know, Hooked on Wrestling, their pod, their 90s pods as well. So yeah, big up to Ash Rose. Absolute pleasure having him on the show. Very interesting to hear some of his favorites and his names. The Rock, you know, a favorite of many of us. Sting as well. Can't forget Sting. Gotta love a bit of Sting as well, especially in the 90s. Guys, please make sure you're following Ash Rose on social media. On Twitter, his handle is AshRoseUK. Tell him how much you enjoyed today's episode. Honestly, speaking to him, one of the names off my bucket list, if you like, because I love to hear, you know, we all love the wrestler stories and stuff like that, but people that work within the industry as well, like, they need to be heard and they need to be given their flowers because of the great job they do in, you know, sharing the word with us and enlightening us through what they do. So yeah, an absolute pleasure to have Ash on the show. And Ash, I'm going to hold you to what you said. GP making a comeback in 2022. James, we're waiting. We are waiting. We are waiting. There's a lot of people that want to see that return. Like Ash said, it's probably the only return left in wrestling now because CM Punk is back. So yeah, GP in 2022, please and thank you. Like I said, guys, his contact details will be down in the description, so you can follow Ash Rose UK on Twitter. But guys, that is all I have for you today. We will be back next Wednesday with a new pod. In fact, we might come back before Wednesday. Of course, we got Survivor Series, so we might do a bit of a Survivor Series review on this podcast, so you guys can enjoy that. It'll be good to kind of see how this show, you know, turns out. Although it doesn't really mean much at this point. But yeah, we might come back with a Survivor Series show. Other than that, you'll get a brand new interview with me next Wednesday for sure. And you're gonna wanna hear that one. Trust me, you are going to want to hear that one. But guys, I've been Mex, WrestleManiac UK on all social platforms. You can reach me and tell a friend about the podcast, share it with friends. Follow on YouTube, follow on Instagram, follow on Twitter. You know what to do. And I will see you soon.